Let's have your prayers this afternoon for us to take a look at something, maybe another time of reviewing, taking inventory. I've got a question for you to think about as I think about it for myself. If you knew today of a surety that it's all over when you breathe your last, there is no heaven, there is no hell. It's over when you breathe your last breath. Would you change anything about your life? And the reason I think it's a good thing to think about is because it helps me to review, why am I living for the Lord? Is it only because I've heard there's a hell out ahead and I really don't want to go there? I really kind of wish I could follow after the things of the world, but I don't want to go to hell, so I'm going to change. You know, we're going to need something more than that to be able to make it all the way through this. Because if we don't have something more than that, there will be something come along that's going to sidetrack us before we get to the end. Would I throw away all restraints that I have in my life if I knew there's not a price for it after death? Because what that inventory does is tells me, what kind of value are those restraints in my life anyhow? You know, I've thought about this before. If there were nothing after this life, I found there's still value to living the way the Lord has asked us to. If it's for nothing more than the relationships that I have with others around me, to be able to have that peace that he says will only come from living the way he would have us to. The instructions that he gives us. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. If I followed my own way, my peace would be up and down all the time. But by following the way that the Lord has for me, whether there's something after life or not, it's a blessing in this life. But we all know, the Bible tells us there is something after this life. So it does act as a goad to me. Dan, be careful of your life. Dan, search yourself, because yes, there is a heaven and there is a hell. And understand that it is forever. We have heard even in this meeting about the rich man and Lazarus. And we understand something. That was written maybe 2,000 years ago. And we understand that he's there today. So with that understanding, yes, it does drive me to walk with a carefulness. But I want to tell you more than that is, I love, there's a song we sing, I love to serve my Jesus. It's a privilege so sublime. My life, afresh with beauty bright, is sparkling all the time. That's what the Lord intended for it to be for us. Not just, I want to miss this punishment, so I'm going to have to make myself do right. No, it is what brings delight to me. We have sung before the song number 300. And I'll tell you, that song seemed like in the past, it just seemed like a, you'll never come to the end of it. It's just a tough song to sing through. Until I got the experience. And now I love the song. It says, I'm drinking at the fountain where I ever would abide. For I've tasted life's pure river and my soul is satisfied. You know what? When you get to that place, all the folks in the world can come to you and say, let me tell you about this new thing that has come out. Come and let's follow the world. There's no thirsting for life's pleasures, nor adorning rich and gay. I found a richer treasure, one that fadeth not away. And it goes on to say, because they that will live godly shall suffer persecution. God never told us, you sign on and you'll have health and wealth. Everything will go well for the Christian. But this song goes on to say, tell me not of heavy crosses, nor of burdens hard to bear. I found this great salvation. Makes each burden light appear. It helps me with the burden that I have to go through. And I love to follow Jesus, gladly counting all but dross, worldly honors all forsaking for the glory of the cross. There is another song, number 64. This one says, salvation is the sweetest thing that mortal ever found. My soul can never cease to sing, such love and peace abound. And there is another one on song number 69. In verse 1, how can you part with Jesus, so loving, so kind and gracious? His service to me is precious. I'm happy, redeemed and free. And I look at song after song, and these are testimonies of people that have had this experience in their life. They had the option. You can choose which way you want to go. And they chose this. And they did not see it as a chore. It became the sweetest thing in their life. And so I think about it for us. We understand there is eternity out ahead. And I do want to live my life to where I'm prepared to make heaven my home. Thinking of a verse in Proverbs, 4th chapter, and the 18th verse. The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. It has a beginning and it continues to get brighter and brighter and takes us right out into eternity to heaven. I was listening to a message of Brother Danny Adams recently, and he said something that has really stuck with me. Eternal life begins on the day I get saved. I always kind of thought about it, okay, when I breathe my last breath, then eternal life begins. But he said, no, eternal life is a continuation. It starts the day I get saved. It continues to build. And I only breathe my last breath to make a transition from this life to another. And here's a verse of a song that confirms that. There's light in life without an end, into eternity shall blend, and I, the Lord of life, shall greet and worship at His blessed feet. Then may I clasp His nail-scarred hands, which broke for me death's awful bands. By His great love, how could it be? From death to life, He lifted me. Oh, praise the Lord for victory. From death to life, He lifted me. By His great love and power divine, eternal life is truly mine. So the subject I'd like for you to think about tonight, this afternoon for a little bit, is more. A continuation of what I've already gotten. There's more for me to be able to attain. And we heard about that last night in the 10th chapter of John. A more abundant life. Not just, I've got this much and this is it, but that it continues to grow. Life more abundantly. Because I read in Amos, it had a little warning there. It said there's famine coming in the land. It's not going to be a famine of food and water, but it's going to be a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. And I think about the famine is going on today. We're living in a land of plenty, if you're looking at groceries. But a famine in the land for people that have a desire to hear the word of the Lord and put it to practice in their life. And there is a verse for us to remember in James, first chapter, and in the 21st chapter and 22nd verse. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You know, we can say there's not a famine in the land for hearing the word of the Lord. We're in a camp meeting here that we'll hear 30 messages maybe. But you know what? It's what I do with what I hear is what's real important. Don't be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He beholdeth himself, goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. This is the danger for me. We're in a land of plenty all around us, even spiritually. We have a real blessing. You know, I thought about what a blessing it has been that I was raised to know the truth. Because I look at people that grew up maybe even believing in Muhammad or some other god, and all their life they have been taught that. You know how hard it would be to turn from that? It's just that's what I have known all my life. I'm so thankful to have known the truth. I remember a bumper sticker that Brother Sammons used to put on the back of his car. Thank God for the truth. To be able to know what God requires of me, to be able to know that there's an eternity out ahead. You know, there is so many in the Christian world today, and we've heard that already in this meeting. Seems like no one is going to be lost anymore. In fact, I was reading just recently about a preacher in a mega church that he did some research and he came up with the idea there is no such thing as hell. Well, no wonder he had a mega church. There's a lot of people would love to just understand heaven's for everybody. We're all going there. To be able to have an understanding, I need to be really thankful for that. I appreciate it. Be doers of the word and not just a hearer only. I was thinking about the letter that came to each of the churches in Revelations. There was something that was consistent with every letter. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. Yes. To every one of them in that church, they all had ears. But if you got an ear that's willing to hear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say. And for me today to have an ear sensitive to the Lord's dealings with me. We hear that song, we've heard it in an altar call song before. Oft in the noonday, the evening, and in the stillness of night, sounds in the bosom this warning, turn from the evil, do right. Yet is the voice still unheeded, though it is Jesus who pleads, calling the wandering sinner, offering grace for your needs. You know what, that's possible for me too. When the Lord comes along to deal with me about an area in my life, I can override it. And the next time it won't be quite as loud, and it gets quieter and quieter. I want to be sensitive to the word of the Lord. I want it to be able to work in my life. Here is an area, as we look at more, I'd like to look at a verse in Psalms, the 27th chapter. Because all through the Bible, we hear about the Lord calling people to draw close to him. But it was the response that came back. You know, we hear those places where they said, we will not have this man to reign over us. So it's real important what my response is. 27th chapter and the 8th verse. When thou said, seek ye my face. You know, now it's time for me to make a choice. What am I going to do? This was his choice. When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Here's the direction that I'm going. I want to have more of you in my life. And in that same chapter, the 4th verse, one thing have I desired. You know, there are people that in life, they have one thing that they desire and they pursue after. And it is a goal that when I reach 65 years old, I've got a nest egg laid up and a good retirement for out ahead. This one says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord Do you see the life that we live as being beautiful? To behold the beauty of the Lord. You remember when Jehoshaphat, 2 Chronicles 20, he's got a big army coming up against him. And you would think, what kind of weapons can we have to fight in this battle? And the Lord says, stand still. You'll be able to see the salvation of the Lord. And when they went out to the battle, it says they sang praises to God, and they praised the beauty of holiness. That's something. The beauty, there is beauty in holiness. It's not just this is a strict requirement. This is a walk with God. They praise the beauty of holiness. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Psalms starts out with a man that made a choice. He made a decision of the direction. You know what? Each one of us, not just at the day we get saved, but throughout our life, we're going to have to choose. Do I want more of the Lord, or do I decrease it and something else increases? This book of Psalms starts out with a man that made a decision, and this has always been valuable to me. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, Psalms 1:1, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He's made some decisions that I'm going to turn my back on some things. But you know, this in itself is not enough. Because I think of the verse that says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, that spirit walks about seeking rest and finding none. And he says, I'm going to come back where I used to live, and I'm going to see what is the state of that person. This person made some good decisions. He chose not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He didn't stand in the way of sinners. He didn't sit in the seat of the scornful. And then there's that little word, but. Because you know what? Unless I do something to fill it, I'm still in trouble. So he filled it. His delight, that's a pretty strong word right there. It's not just, okay, he's got to do it if he wants success. No, he enjoys doing it. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. This is such a valuable verse because there is so much instruction for us to guard our thoughts. Not just sinful thoughts, but just for us to guard the direction that our thoughts go into. Bringing into captivity every thought. Because you know what? Our thoughts can take off in all kind of directions. That's why it's told us in Proverbs 3:5, don't lean to your own understanding. You know what my own understanding is? It's my thoughts about what has happened and what I think it ought to go to. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall, it will happen. He shall direct your paths. Blessed. There is another place in the scripture that we hear about blessed, and it's in Jeremiah, in the 17th chapter and in the 5th verse. Goes on down, it starts out first that there's a curse to the man that trusts in man. And you know, that can be me leaning to my own understanding, trusting in myself to make the decisions. But look in the 7th verse. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought. You know, Amos was talking about there's coming a famine in the land. Things are going to start drying up. But this man, he was like a tree planted by a river of water. And I can almost see maybe the ground around him was drying up. But he had a tap root that ran down right into the river. And when everything else is drying up, he still had plenty of being able to draw in. He shall be like a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river, shall not see when heat cometh. Her leaf shall be green, shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. When everything else is drying up, you know what I need when the world around me sees how desolate it is? I need to still be bearing fruit. for them to be able to see that in a dry time as today, there is still fruit that can be yielded. Blessed are they, here's another choice, that hunger and thirst after righteousness. This is a choice that I make. I want more of the Lord in my life. Because we're going to be filled with something. It's either going to be the Lord's going to be able to be filled, and it's a choice that I make, or the world comes in and starts filling up the vacuum. You know, when the unclean spirit came back for the search, he said he found it empty, had not been filled again. You know what? Each one of us in this drying time can move from full to empty real quick. And there's going to be something. And we say, well, you know what? That's evil spirits we're talking about. You know what? We can have things come in and consume us in a short amount of time. And it can be just in my thinking, my thoughts. One thing is just, I don't know if the Lord can help me through this one that I'm going through. But to know of a surety, God can help us out through the battles that we're going in. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know, we talked about this morning, the Lord has all power is given to him in heaven and on earth. He has the ability to draw every person in the world to himself. And yet he stands at the door and knocks. We sing that song sometime because here's what decides it. Have you any time for Jesus as the fleeting moments roll? Is this mortal life so busy? Boy, that's a danger for us today. This life can get so busy that I don't have time to save my soul. I don't spend the time that I need making the preparations that I should. But I'm thankful for the verse. Lord, here's my decision. When you said, seek my face, my heart said, thy face. You won't have to keep persuading me, Lord. My heart says, thy face will I seek. I was thinking of a song about more. It says, more about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. Starting to fill my heart with some things. More about Jesus, let me learn. More of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More about Jesus in his word, holding communion with my Lord. Hearing his voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. More about Jesus on his throne, riches in glory all his own. More of his kingdom's sure increase, more of his coming, Prince of Peace. More about Jesus, more of his saving fullness to be able to see, more of his love who died for me. For me to be able to have more, I've got to have some room. I've got to make some room for him to be able to come in. In James, in the first chapter, and in the 8th verse, it tells me, you know what, it's not going to be enough for me to say I'm going to reserve a little bit of spot here because I would like some of the Lord. You remember the song that sometimes we'd sing about, I started out where it was all of me, all of self, and none for the Lord. And then I didn't really like it. It didn't work out too good that way. So I started giving him a little more and a little less of me. But you know, it really didn't work until it came to the place where it's none of me and all of the Lord. This one tells us in James 1 and 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. To be able to say, you know what, I want the Lord, but I'm just not willing to give up the world. It won't work. It says we cannot serve two masters. It doesn't say we can't try. It says it won't work. We're going to love the one and hate the other. We're going to have to make up our mind. You remember when Elijah was just walking down the road and here's Elisha out plowing with his oxen. And Elijah doesn't do any more than take his jacket off and throw it over on Elisha. And Elisha must have understood some things about that. And he said, let me go home. Let me kiss my mom and my dad. Let me make some preparations here, and I'll follow you. He did follow him, and he put his whole heart into it, to the point that one day he realizes Elijah's going to soon be leaving here. Today, Elijah's going to leave here. And Elijah gave him opportunities to be distracted. In fact, Elijah told him, you stay here while I go on. But Elisha had in his mind, I've got a goal here. I want something. And I'm going to stay right here by him. I believe there's maybe three or four places. Remember, he said, I'm going to go to Gilgal. You stay here. No, I'm going with you. Get there, and then he says, okay, I'm going to go on to Bethel. You stay here. No, I'm going with you. To Jericho, no. And even when others are saying, do you not understand today? He's going, I know it. Don't bother me. I got to focus right here. To the point that Elijah asked him, what do you want from me? And he didn't say, I don't know. I just wanted to follow you. Uh-uh. He had a clear understanding what he wanted. I want a double portion of your spirit. He didn't say, well, there's no way you can have it. It's not even available. God's given me as much as he can give anybody. But instead, he said, I tell you what, you can have it, but you're going to have to see me when I go up. You know what? There was no distractions for Elisha then. I believe he didn't turn his eyes off of him from that time on. It was, I'm going to have this thing that Elijah has for me. I'm going to be able to get it if I'll keep my eyes on him. In this day and time that we're living in, distractions are a danger for us. Right among the church, there are distractions that would like to get my mind, my eyes turned off, and I see this, I'm spending time taking a look at this, when the very thing that would give me more power moves on and I miss it. A double portion of thy spirit, and he saw him when he went up, and God gave him that blessing. There are things for us today. I was thinking about the place in Ezekiel 47, where it said he measured with a rod. He measured out 1,000, and the water was to the ankles. You know, you can't do much swimming in water that's to the ankles. About all you can do is just muddy up the water. I can remember when I was a child, I could not swim. So I would want to play like I could swim. But you want to have water shallow enough that you look like you're swimming, but you're digging the bottom with your hands going along. You know what you do? You just muddy up the water when you're doing that, temporally and spiritually. But there is a place for every one of us, because he didn't say, you know what the ankles is as far as anybody's going to be able to go in this river. It said he measured 1,000. It was to the knees. We're starting to get in some water that we could start swimming in a little bit, but it's still not quite deep enough. 1,000, it was to the loins. And then it said the next measurement put him out in a river that you could swim in. There was plenty of room. I believe spiritually today, the Lord has for all of us a place that we can swim in. We don't have to be right up next to the shore where all the mud is, but we can go out. And it's going to be a lot about my decision. Do I want it or do I not? You know, the Bible talks to us about don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. That's like a commandment. Look, I told you to come to church. You know, that's kind of like the driving. But the drawing says, like Psalms 122 and 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. There's a big difference. I'm in the house of the Lord either way, but there's a big difference with where my heart is. I can remember when I was small, there was no question about whether we would go to meeting on Sunday night. You just went. I can remember to the point that I just wish we could miss some so I could just stay home, you know, and enjoy it. I'm a child. And I can remember a storm coming down in Louisiana. We'd have hurricanes come every once in a while. And I can remember one time a hurricane coming, and I'm thinking, boy, if this will line up just right, I'll get to be off on Sunday. I can stay home on Sunday. You know what? I'm glad that didn't carry over into adulthood to where, okay, I'm going to go. Boy, it's not really where my heart is. And the worst thing is, you know, with this kind of life, the worst thing would be if I move into the area of hypocrisy. Right. To where I do come because I want you to feel like I'm all in and my heart's not in it. But this one said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Another one is in Psalms 42. These are places where I want more. 42 and 1. This one now has moved past the place of my mom and dad telling me you got to go to meeting. This one says, as a hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? I love that scripture because that is now I've got my heart into it. When do I get another opportunity to go to service? When can I have another opportunity to hear some of the Word of God? As the hart panteth after the water brooks. And then Psalms 119 has some places in it. 119 and 20. These are pretty strong words. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. I long to be able to know what the Lord requires of me, what he wants me to do to be able to have his blessing on my life. My soul breaketh for the longing. There is in also there in 119 and 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Psalms 107 is another verse. 107 and 8 and 9. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul, and he filleth the hungry soul with goodness. I was thinking in our book, there is a song. This is a testimony of someone. It's song number 151. It's More Like Christ. My heart is praying. More like Christ from day to day. As it seems like the world is drifting farther and farther away from the Lord, I can have a longing. I want to have more of Christ in my life. All his graces rich displaying while I tread my pilgrim way. More like Christ in deeds of kindness and in all the words I say. Yearning for the souls in blindness who are going far astray. This is a little different than the man that he came back and he found him empty, swept and garnished, not full. More like Christ in burden bearing, helping all the sad and weak. Tears and sorrows gladly sharing, others' pleasure would I seek. More like Christ in self-denial, seeking not a life of ease, patient in the depths of trial, that my Savior I may please. There is another song that we sing that talks about more. It says, more than a conqueror. Not just that I came out, I survived it, but more than a conqueror. Through him, it wasn't through us, that I would be able to recognize throughout my life that Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. But then it's so easy, inferiority complex. You know what? It's so easy to say is, okay, I agree with that. I can't do anything, so I won't even try. But instead, Paul went on the other side of it, and he said, I can do all things if through Christ, which strengtheneth me, that I have the power if Christ will help me out. So I don't use that as an excuse. I can't do anything. It's just there'll be nothing that will be profitable if it's not done through Christ. More like Christ in self-denial, seeking not a life of ease, patient in the depths of trial, that my Savior I may please. More like Christ every day. Not just, okay, we've got another 8 or 9 days in this meeting. I'd like to get more. I want to be more like Christ these next 8 or 9 days. Every day. Lord, help me to see if there is an area in my life that I can let go of, that I'll be able to have more, be more like Christ. There's one other song I would like to look at. It's song number 460. I'd like for us to sing this song together, number 460. Because this is saying where the more is. It's Savior, more than life to me. Savior, more than life to me. I am clinging, clinging close to Thee. Let Thy precious blood apply. Keep me ever, ever near Thy side. Every day, every hour, let me feel Thy cleansing power. May Thy tender love to me bind me closer, closer, Lord, to Thee. Through this changing world below, lead me gently, gently as I go, trusting Thee, I cannot stray. I can never, never lose my way. Every day, every hour, let me feel Thy cleansing power. May Thy tender love to me bind me closer, closer, Lord, to Thee. Let me love Thee more and more, till this fleeting, fleeting life is o'er, till my soul is lost in love, in a brighter, brighter world above. Every day, every hour, let me feel Thy cleansing power. May Thy tender love to me bind me closer, closer, Lord, to Thee.
The one that wrote this song, again, was Fanny Crosby. And you know, I find some of her songs kind of depict how a blind person would think. Through this changing world below, you know, one thing that gets a blind person is things that change. If I get used to this, I know how to move around. You know what? We need to realize that without the Lord's help, we can't see in this day and time either. It's changing. Lord, through this changing world below, lead me gently. You know, that's something a blind person wants is, don't take off running just because you know where you're going. Lead me gently. Folks, I want to tell you, the Lord wants to lead us gently. He's not pushing us along. All I got to do is keep my desire. Lord, I want to please you with my life. And he will lead me gently as I go. Trusting thee, I cannot stray. I can never, never lose my way. So as we started out this morning, if there were no heaven, if there were no hell, well, we know it is. And you know, Fanny Crosby knew it was too. And she said, Lord, I believe you're going to keep on leading me right on through this life until I reach heaven, my home. And he wants to do the same thing for every one of us. I want to be more like Christ. I desire your prayers.